We're going to continue in our series called America's Pastime. And so we've been talking about, is God your passion or is he your pastime? We've talked about the difference between passion and pastime. In both of them, it's something that you love. But in a passion, it's something that drives you. It's something that causes you to become better. And it's something that that you think about constantly. In a pastime, it's something that you love, but it's more of a hobby kind of thing. It's more of one of those things that it's there for when it's convenient for you. And sadly, a lot of people make Christianity their pastime, just something when it's convenient, when things are going well. They're serving God and all that stuff, but when things get tough, they abandon. And so we're encouraging you through this series to stir the passion of God in your heart again that you once had when you first got saved. And, you know, I believe that, you know, lots of times our spiritual life's kind of like a roller coaster. You know, we're up and down and that's natural. But there's things that we can do to ignite the passion in our heart again for God. And so that's what we're talking about in this series. We talked about the passion of Christ. What was it that drove Jesus to the cross? What was it in him that made him want to die for us? Last week, we started talking about how to ignite the passion in our hearts again. And we asked the question, what are you feeding yourself? What is it that you're putting in your heart? The Bible tells us to guard our hearts above all else, because out of it flows the issues of life. And so what is it that you're putting into your heart? Are you being protective of your heart and being careful what you put in? And we need to be putting God's word and the message of the gospel in our heart every day in order to be feeding the right dog, as we said last week, to feed the spirit man instead of the flesh. And so that's what we talked about last week. And so this week, we're going to continue in talking about how to ignite the passion in our heart again. But I heard someone ask this question once. It's one of those questions that stuck with me, and it's a challenging question. They asked this question. They said, if God never did anything else for you ever again, didn't answer any prayers, you never felt his presence, anything, would you still serve God? If God never did anything else for you again, would you still serve him? And it's one of those questions like, I know the right answer to this, but would I live that out? You know, would I actually still serve God if he quit answering my prayers? If I never, you know, we were worshiping a while ago and we felt the presence of God here. What if that never happened ever again? I'm not saying that it ever will, because God is faithful and he'll always be here. But what if? Would you still serve God? Would I be content in what God has done in my life up to this point enough to continue to serve him? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me ask you the question of the day. Do I remember God's faithfulness? Because God has done so much for us in our lifetime. And you know, some of you might be thinking, I'm a new Christian. You know, I'm just getting into this. You know, God hasn't really done a whole lot in my life yet. And so I don't know. But today I want to take you on a journey through Scripture. And I want to show you exactly what God has done for you in your lifetime. And this applies to everybody. This is not, you know, based on individual, because, you know, there's things that God's done in my life personally that stirs the passion inside of me. You know, he's broken addictions off of my life. He's healed my physical body before. You know, I mean, there's been so many things that he's done. I've seen people come to know Christ that I've been praying for, you know, friends and family. And I've seen God answer prayer. But besides all of that stuff that he's done for me personally, what has he done for his people? What has he done for his church? What has he done for you? And so today I want to take us on a journey. And I have lots of scripture for you today. All right. And I'm going to give Robin a workout back there on the computer, trying to get all those up for you so you can read them. But I just want to show you today what God has done for you. And I believe that as we are grateful to God for what he's done for us in the past, that the passion will be stirred in our hearts. In fact, as I was reviewing my notes last night, I was sitting in my kitchen. I got the kids to bed and I was sitting in my kitchen, you know, going over my notes. And man, I was getting excited, man. I was like, ooh, glory to God. You know, so I'm expecting a good service today. If you're with me, we'll have a good time today. And let's shout and glorify God for what he has done for us. So let's start from the very beginning today. from the very beginning, actually before the beginning. We find this in Psalms 139. I love this. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." One of the first things that he did for each and every one of us is that you were hand-built by God. You weren't just an accident. You just didn't appear. But God, as soon as you were conceived, God went to work handcrafting you just like he wanted you. He gave you your personality. He gave you your gifts and talents. He made everything about you. And he was a part of the process. He oversaw the whole process of you being made into who he wanted you to be. And so before you were even born, God was at work in your life. And it says that he thought through your entire life. It says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book." Not only did he handcraft you, but he ordered your life from the very beginning. See, before you were even born, he knew you were going to be here today. He knew you were going to be a part of this body. He knew you were going to be our guest here today, because that's what he ordained for your life. And God was instrumental in making you who you are and bringing you to the place to where you meet him. So what has he done for us? He knit me together. He handmade me. He handcrafted me. I like to say he handcrafted me. I'm an original. I'm one of a kind, right? And so are you. He thinks about us a lot. Continuing in Psalms 139:17, it says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast are the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you." See, he not only made you, but he thinks about you. He thinks about you constantly. You know, you have those people in your life that you know, you wake up and you're thinking about them. When you're going throughout the day, you're like, "I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's going on with my kids at school. I wonder what's going on with my wife. Are they having a good day?" And I pray for them. And there's those people that we think about in life. And that's the way God is with you, is that he's constantly thinking about you. He said his thoughts are innumerable. It's like the sand on earth. That's how many his thoughts are for you. So he thinks about you. He has a plan for your life. He not only handcrafted you and thought about you, but he has a plan for you. In Jeremiah 29:10, it says, "This is what the Lord says." Now, let me preface this before I read it. He's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and they're in captivity in Babylon at this time. And it's a message towards Israel. But I believe that it can apply to us, too. It says, "You'll be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do all the good things that I promised. And I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will end your captivity and restore your fortune." See, they were captive in Babylon, but we were captive in sin. In that, even though we were in sin, he still had a plan for us. He had a plan to bring us out of that sin and to bring us home to where he wanted us. He has a plan for your life. It's a plan for a hope and a future, not disaster. See, each and every one of us have a plan in our life that God made just for us. And it's when we seek him, as he said down here, he said, "In those days, you will pray and I will listen. You will look for me wholeheartedly and you will find me." See, it's in those times that when we're seeking God, that he can begin to do his will in our life. That we can begin to live out that purpose that he's placed on the inside of us. What has God done for us? He's handcrafted us. He thinks about us. He has a plan for our lives. Part of that plan, He worked before we were even born, is that He planned your salvation. That He knew that you would be in need of a Savior. He knew the things that you would do that would cause you to need a Savior, to need someone to come rescue you. And so He planned that before you were even born. See, in Romans, I told you I was going to read a lot of Scripture today. Is that all right? It's in the Scripture where we find truth. It's in the Scripture where we find our freedom. And so we need to be pouring the Scripture on the inside of us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people wouldn't be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for someone especially good. Listen to this. "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." See, He doesn't wait for you to clean up your life. He doesn't wait for you to quit that addiction. He doesn't wait, but He already provided salvation for you. We have to seek Him and we have to realize that, man, I failed. I can't do this on my own. I need someone to help me. I need a Savior. And then we call out to God and we look at the cross of Jesus and see what He did for us. And we begin to say, God, I need You. I need Your love. I need Your grace. And it's in those moments that we realize this, that while we were still sinning, that He sent the Son to die for us. Verse 9, "And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation." Isn't that good news? That God will never condemn you. He will never damn you to hell because of what Christ did for us on the cross. As we seek Him and as we give our life to Him, He's planned our salvation before we even needed it, because He knew we would. Not only did He plan our salvation, He also freely forgives us. See, when we forgive somebody, it's not usually freely forgiving, right? Usually, like, we try to make people earn our forgiveness. Like, they got to realize they did me wrong before, you know, and we put on the guilt trip and we do all these things. But see, God doesn't do that to us. See, God freely forgives us. We see in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "If we claim to have no sin, then we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." He said, all you have to do is confess and I'll forgive you. Not only will He forgive you, but He will cleanse you from that unrighteousness. So when we forgive somebody, we keep that with us still, right? I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. I'll always remember that you did this to me. See, God doesn't do that to us. God doesn't hold back our sin. He doesn't have like this secret notebook that He keeps hidden, like, oh yeah, they sinned that time. Let me write that down. I might need that later. God doesn't do that to us. He freely forgives and cleanses us of those wickedness. Man, that's good news. All right. Y'all weren't excited as I was last night, I tell you what. I might need that forgiveness more than you did. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life is gone and a new life has come. It has begun." See, before I knew Christ, I was a scoundrel. I was a sinner. I did all kinds of horrible stuff. But when I gave my life to Him, that one died. It no longer exists. A new life has begun. Something brand new began. And that comes with God's free forgiveness. He forgives us freely. He doesn't hold those things against us. Isaiah 43, 25. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. He never remembers that I did wrong in the past. See, in the Old Testament, it was different. See, they couldn't just approach God. They had to, when they sinned, they had to get the right sacrifice. to kill the right animal, to bring the grain offering, to whatever it was that they did. They had to bring the right sacrifice and they had to bring it to a priest, and the priest would kill the animal, and there would be bloodshed, and they would burn the animal, and then the priest would take that blood and he would do certain things with it. And this is how they got forgiveness in the Old Testament. But the thing was, it just covered their sin. It never was gone. But see, now with the blood of Jesus, not only do we get forgiveness, but we get the cleansing with it. He said, no longer will I ever think of that again. See, God does not remember my past. He does not remember my past sin. He can never hold that against me because he chooses to forget it. That's what my God has done for me. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. And God has freely forgiven us of our sins. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. See, God handcrafted you just like he wanted you. His thoughts are innumerable about you. He has a plan for your life. That he thought through all of your days and he thought through everything that you do. He knew that you're going to be here today and he has a word for you today. He knew that day that you're going to struggle, that you're in the valley. He knew it was coming and he provided grace for you in that moment. See, he thought through every single day of your life and he's provided what you need for that day. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. When I am weak, he is strong. In my weakness and my brokenness, that's where God is the strongest. And that he shows up the strongest in my life is when I'm at my weakest. See, God provided salvation for you. He thought about your salvation. He said, this is exactly what they need right here. And on top of providing salvation, he freely forgives. See, if it was me, I'd have made you earn it. I mean, that would just be me. Like, if I die on a cross for you, you know, if I'm going to give something up like that for you, so you're going to earn this thing and you're going to appreciate it. But God doesn't do that. It's a free gift that he gives us, that when we confess our sin, he forgives and cleanses. No questions asked. He said, I forgive you. He did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. So not only has he planned our salvation, he freely forgives. He didn't stop there. He not only forgives our sins, but he frees us from the power of sin and condemnation in our life. Romans chapter 8 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-saving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. He didn't just forgive you of sin, but he broke the power of sin in your life. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body, like the body we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. See, he not only forgave us of those sins, but he broke the power of sin in our life. That means we no longer have to sin. Now, this is something you don't hear a lot, but you don't have to sin. Sin has no control over your life except for the power that you give it. See, when we get caught in those addictions, when we get caught in those things like that, it's because we allowed that to happen in our life. And the power of God is still there to break that in your life. And he wants to break that in your life because he has brought salvation to you and he's brought freedom to you through the cross of Jesus. But see, most Christians don't know that. Most people don't know that. Most people don't get in their word enough to know that the power of sin has been broken in us and we don't have to sin anymore. That we can live in freedom from those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For the sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thanks be to God that he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Can someone get excited in here today about what God has done for us? Man. Woo. I tell you, gives me a little stirred up. Don't mind me today. Man, God has done so much for us. Let me ask you the question. If God never did anything else for you ever again, if he didn't answer any more prayers, if you never felt his presence again, would you still serve him? He has done so much for us, and most of it before we even existed, that he provided for us and that he planned for us, that should be enough for us to serve him forever, even though he never did anything else for us again. He didn't stop there. He freed us from sin and condemnation, but he made us righteous. He made us righteous. What does that mean? Righteousness is being in right relationship with God. Just as Adam and Eve in the garden, they were hanging out in the garden. God would come down and he would talk with them, you know, and they would have conversations and they could be in his presence. That is righteousness right there. And through the cross of Jesus, he has provided that back to us so that we can have communion with God again, that we can have those moments to where we can be in the presence of God. See, in the Old Testament, God resided in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. And the only person that could go in there, he could only go in there once a year, and that was the high priest. And that was under strict orders of how he can come and approach God. But see, when Jesus died on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," and he died in the temple, the veil ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying that we now have an access to the Father, that we no longer have to go through a priest. We no longer have to bring a blood sacrifice. But we can freely come into the presence of God and worship. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. He's made us righteous that we can have that relationship with him where there's no boundaries, there's no borders, that we can just come and be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, he just didn't forgive us. He didn't just cleanse us. But he said that we become the righteousness of God. It's something that we are. It's not something that we attain somewhere. It's something that he made us. See, I like to explain righteousness like this, is that me, myself, I mess up. I sin. I'm not perfect. But see, when I am in Christ and I ask for forgiveness, he forgives and he cleanses me. And so now when God looks down at me and he sees the blood of Christ in my life, that he looks down and he sees Christ in me and he sees perfection. That God doesn't see my sin. That he doesn't see my shortcomings. He doesn't see those things because of the blood of Jesus in my life. And that's how I am righteous. And he sees me as perfect. Even though I'm not. You know that. I know that. But God chooses not to see that because of the blood of Jesus. That is what righteousness is. But see, he didn't stop there either. God's done so much for us. He handcrafted us. He thinks about us. He has a plan for us. He's gave us salvation. He's freely forgiven us. He's freed us from the power of sin and condemnation. He has made us righteous. On top of that, he's given us his Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus was here on the earth, he was the presence of God here on this earth. But see, when he died, rose again on the third day, he met with the disciples several times. Then he went up into heaven where he's sitting at the right hand of God now. And he sent his Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. See, when we give our lives to Christ, not only is Christ here, the presence of God is here, but it's living right here. See, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. It dwells in you as a believer. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. And listen to what the Holy Spirit does. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "And you are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is," I love this, "a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." See, the Holy Spirit is a seal guaranteeing your inheritance of salvation, that one day you will go to heaven. See, I don't have to worry if I'm going to heaven or not, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me and it's a deposit. Y'all know what a deposit is, right? You know, you go to rent an apartment, you give a deposit to make sure they don't give it to somebody else or you don't lose it. It's yours because you gave the deposit. Well, the Holy Spirit's the deposit in us, guaranteeing our inheritance. And so that's what one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is, the seal on the inside of us. Not only did he stop there, but he made us victorious in Christ. See, he planned us. He thinks about us. He planned our salvation. He freely forgave us. He freed us from the power of sin and condemnation. He made us righteous. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And he went a step further in that he gave us victory through Christ Jesus. That our enemy does not have power over us because of the cross of Jesus in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. "No, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, nor fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." We are victorious in him, that we have victory in our lives because of the cross. 1 John 5, 4 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Man, God has done so much for us. I don't deserve an ounce of that. Because of the way I've lived my life, because of the things that I've done, I don't deserve that. But this is God's grace. This is God's free gift to us. See, we don't need to be asking the question, "God, what have you done for me lately?" Seems like that's what we ask God. "God, you didn't answer my prayer. You didn't do this. You didn't this. God, what's going on?" If we just look at his word and see what he's provided for us, what he's done for us already, that should be enough. But he doesn't stop there, because he answers prayer still. He still brings healing. He does all of these things for us that he's promised in his word. It's my hope today that as we reflect on God's faithfulness, that it stirs a passion on the inside of you, that you get excited about this. Because God has done all of this for you, and we don't deserve it. But he loves us, and he gives us that grace. See, this week, I'm going to give you some homework. Y'all like homework, right? Y'all haven't had that in a long time. Go read Psalms 103. Just sit down sometime when you can just be still and be quiet and focus, and read Psalms 103. And this is David just celebrating. He's remembering God's faithfulness in his life. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And he begins to list for the next 20-something verses the things that God has done for him, and it's a lot of the stuff that we talked about today. Let that be something that stirs your heart. When you start feeling down, when you start feeling the passion wane in your life, go read Psalms 103. I believe it'll stir your heart today. Today I'm going to pray for you. Then we have a skit that I want you to watch, and I want you to be open to what God has for you today. God, we thank you today for, God, for everything that you've done. God, as we reflect on your faithfulness, we reflect on your free gift. God, stir our hearts. God, stir that passion in us to live wholeheartedly for you, God, and that you could use us for your glory. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.